live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Thursday to you all. It is May 9th, 2019. And I have to thank the powers that be for the topics that they just, I mean, today's show is so easy, such an easy show. It's like the topics just fell right into my lap this morning. I mean, usually around May, you know, you don't get much Michigan State news. So it's still not going to be a Michigan State heavy show. I do want to comment on Nick Ward not being invited to any team workouts in the National Basketball Association. He was not invited to any G League tryouts in the National Basketball Association. He is not slated to go anywhere in the NBA draft later on this summer. Do want to comment on that. But Matt McQuaid, he has been invited to a team to work out. I just want to comment on Nick Ward's draft stock. So that's about the only Michigan State news I'll touch on today. You know, it's May. You know, it's not like Michigan State sports are in full swing. Speaking of swing, I'll give you an update on the Michigan State women's golf team and what happened this week when it comes to trying to qualify for the NCAA finals. Some good news there, though. I think you know where I'm going with the story. Some good news concerning to MSU women's golfers. So that's kind of like a catch-22 story. So we'll touch on Michigan State a little bit, but not a lot. On today's show, the topics that I'm referring to that really fell in my lap. First off, the changes that will be coming to the world of Michigan High School Athletic Association tournament seedings. Yeah, folks, we're going to have an actual seeding that will take place in the world of high school sports here in this great state of Michigan. I think long overdue. And specifically when discussing the format for football, you know, no longer will you just have to reach six wins and then you automatically qualify for the playoffs. Going to have to be more challenging than that. All right, because in years past, the way that certain schools and coaches have played the system is you schedule a few lollipops, you know, get a few easy wins. That goes toward your six-win total. And, oh, look at that. I'm in the playoffs. Well, things will be a bit more difficult. I'll comb through the changes to get my thoughts on them. As you already know, I'm ecstatic about them. I love them. Long overdue. And then later on this hour, boy, drama, thy name is NBA. I mean, when you look at professional sports here in America, it's really no competition when it comes to the drama and the storylines and the compelling superstars that are in the league. No other professional, you know, realm can quite compare to the NBA. And yes, I'm even talking about the National Football League. You don't get the volume of stories that are just so intriguing. It just doesn't compare to the National Basketball Association. So last night, we saw the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets go at it. I'll tell you the result of that game, but also some interesting drama that occurred in the second half. Also, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, they were able to do away getting a gentleman sweep. I call it a gentleman sweep. Five-game series win against the Boston Celtics. I'll touch on that. But I got to touch on this Los Angeles Lakers drama. You know, I stated here on Current Sports that I did not think it could get any worse than what we saw happen when Magic Johnson, Michigan State's favorite son, basketball legend Magic Johnson, who was at the time the president of basketball operations for the Lakers, I thought it couldn't get any worse than what we saw happen with Magic, who did not let his boss know that he was stepping down. He basically just rolled up to Staples and said, yeah, guys, I want to talk to the media. He held an impromptu press conference in, like, the Staples Center hallway and said, yeah, I'm out. Deuces. Finito. Yeah, that's it, baby. It doesn't get more epic than that. And it doesn't get more sad than that. I thought it could not get any more sad than that. And then some news broke yesterday that added to the fire. I mean, and folks, we're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. This is a beloved franchise in American sports with a storied history. Storied history. Banners everywhere. You know, it goes back to the days of Jerry West and Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain and, you know, Magic Johnson, of course, and the Showtime Lakers of the 80s. And then you ushered in a new era of Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, this is a franchise that is not used to losing. They've had their share of drama, but this is a franchise that is not used to losing and having upper management mismanage this many times. I couldn't believe what I read yesterday. I'll bring that story to you later on. I got to touch on that, though. So it's going to be a juicy show. I'll also bring to you a really cool feature that I've been working on since this past weekend as I got the chance to cover, you know, not just the Lansing Loco story as the Lansing Lugnuts changed their name this past weekend in honor of Cinco de Mayo and celebrating diversion, you know, I should say diversity, excuse me, diversity here in mid-Michigan. There was another celebration that was taking place, and I got the opportunity to cover a birthday celebration that centers on the oldest member of Lansing's Hispanic community. Trust me, you don't want to miss this feature. It was a blast to cover, and I'm looking forward to bringing that story to you later on this hour. All right, so our plate runneth over on this Thursday, May 9th. If you would like to be a part of the fun, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment below the live stream, and you can also join the convo on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Folks, we start here. The Michigan High School Athletic Association made quite the headline yesterday. The addition of seeding at the district level in basketball and soccer and multiple adjustments in the process used to select the playoff field for 11-player football were among the most notable actions taken by the Representative Council of the Michigan High School Athletic Association during its annual spring meeting, May 5th to the 6th in Gaylord. Now, beginning with the 2019-20 school year, girls and boys basketball and soccer will employ a seeding process to take, well, I should say to place the top two teams in every district on opposite sides of the bracket, guaranteeing those two teams could not play each other before the district championship game. I love that. The two teams to be seeded in each district will be determined using a Michigan Power Ratings computer formula based on regular season results against other MHSAA tournament eligible teams and opponent's strength of schedule. The MHSAA will draw all brackets 2 weeks before the start of district play after the top seeds are determined and separated to opposite sides of the bracket. Now, the draw process will place the remaining teams on the bracket based on a randomly selected order determined earlier on in the season. However, the draw process does not guarantee the seeded teams will receive byes or serve as home teams. I know you're probably listening to me and saying, Al, what in the world are you talking about? Trust me, I'll comb through the details. I will be more specific with these changes to the MHSAA in just a moment. It's a lot to take in. I'll walk you through it. We'll hold hands and just walk through this new process of the MHSAA. Because what I just stated right there, you're probably so confused right now. Okay? All right. Wednesday night's U.S. Open Cup first round match between Lansing Ignite Football Club and AFC Arbor did have to shift the location yesterday. So it actually took place yesterday at 9:30 p.m. at Lansing Catholic High School. They had to make the change from Cooley Law School Stadium because, quote, field conditions did not meet internal standards. All right. I saw this in a press release yesterday evening. Lansing Ignite went on to play AFC Arbor at Lansing Catholic High School, and they did get the win last night. But I know I got hit up a few times yesterday evening, people hopping in my DMs and saying, Al, why was the location changed from Cooley to Lansing Catholic High School? Well, again, the conditions of the field did not meet standards, much to the anger of many fans out there. But still, for those that did attend, it was free. They made it free. And for those that did attend, I'm told that they had a good time. So, curious, though. I mean, what was your reaction to that change? And if you were at the match last night, I would love to hear from you. Okay, the Michigan State women's golf team, the number 5 seed Spartans, playing the NCAA regional in the confines of their home course at Forest Acres West, finished 7th overall yesterday, 1 spot and 3 strokes off. Yeah, that's how close it was. From qualifying all 5 golfers to the NCAA championships out in Arkansas, despite the team not qualifying for the NCAA championships. 2 of the 3 individuals from the regional who advanced were MSU's Halen Harris and Allison Gear Park. Now, Harris, a freshie, finished the tournament at 3 under par, 213, good enough for second place tie overall and the highest finish ever by a Spartan women's golfer in a regional. Gear Park, a junior who recently got the chance to play at Augusta National, I am so jealous of that, made a birdie putt on the 18th hole of the final round to put her at 2 over par, a 218 for her regional. So congratulations to Harris and Gear Park for those respective accomplishments. All right, despite struggling most of the season, MSU baseball is on the come up, winning 3 of their last 4 games, including a dub against Valparaiso, 9-3, your final yesterday. Catcher Nick Lacayo, he scored 3 ribbies, including a double that brought in 2. 5 other Spartans tallied in an RBI in the win. Jesse Hakenin, the local product from Holt, got the dub, making him 3-2 on the season. The Detroit Tigers also killed it on the diamond last night. They blew out the LA Angels 10-3. A 2-run triple off the red-hot bat of Ronnie Rodriguez started things off. He finished with 4 ribbies last night. John Hicks and Jacoby Jones also got 2 RBIs each in the win. Matthew Boyd bettering his pitch record to 4-2. And on the first full day of a new phase of NFL free agency, the day when signings no longer factor into the formula for 2020 compensatory draft picks. Seattle struck the first big blow. We saw this coming, agreeing to terms last night on a one-year contract with former defensive end of the Detroit Lions, now with the Seahawks, Ezekiel Ziggy Ansah. Last night in the NBA and NHL playoffs, Milwaukee eliminates the Boston Celtics, so the Bucks move on to the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals, 116-91, the final there. The Bucks win that series 4-1. Again, I call that a gentleman's sweep. That game one was a fluke. Just ask Paul Pierce. I have more on that in just a moment. And the Golden State Warriors took a 3-2 series lead against the Houston Rockets, 104-99, your final in that one late last night. In the NHL playoffs, I know that I am going to mess up this name, so I will go behind the glass right now. I don't know why you guys do this to me. We did see the San Jose Sharks top the Colorado Avalanche. The San Jose wins that series 4-3. You mind pronouncing that name, Alec?
Yeah, it is Jonas Donskoy.
Jonas Donskoy. I would have went with Giannis Donskoy because my thoughts are just on the NBA. So I'm glad you pronounced that for me. He scored the game-winning goal. Is he a big-time player, or is he just some guy who just came out of nowhere?
He's like a reliable second, third-line depth player.
Gotcha. He's a depth player. Depth player. He hit the game-winning goal. The Sharks reach the Western Conference Final for the fifth time in franchise history. Who will they play? Do we know that? Alec, Jack, help a brother out?
Yeah, they'll play the St. Louis Blues.
St. Louis Blues. That's who the Sharks will play as they advance. Okay. And last but certainly not least, I love this story. Move aside, Brett Favre and Jason Witten. This retirement comeback story is something else. Model, TV personality, activist, entrepreneur, the absolutely stunning Tyra Banks. She returned to the cover of Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit issue, more than two decades after being the first black woman to grace the cover of the magazine alone in 1997. Banks came out of modeling retirement specifically for her 2019 SI swim photo shoot. This marks the third SI swimsuit cover for Banks, whose career launched when she first starred on the cover of SI swimsuit back in 1996. With model Valerea Mazza, followed by a solo career cover in 1997. But Tyra Banks on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue at the age of 45. Age ain't nothing but a number. That may be the theme for today's current sports. Again, I have a feature coming to you all later on this hour centered on the oldest living member of Lansing's Hispanic community. I didn't even plan that. That just works. Age ain't nothing but a number. That's how we're titling today's current sports. Okay, that does it. Let's keep it pushing. If you want to call in, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Here we go.
Giannis definitely has to play better, but as a team, I don't know where Milwaukee goes from here. Because
Whoa! So is this over?
No, listen. I think it's over.
The series is over.
Yeah, they
one
lost
game. You just sat there and said that they could win an NBA championship.
Yeah, I did say that, but
one game.
I think styles make fights in boxing.
We know the style of both teams before the series started.
Yeah, but it just seemed like Milwaukee was the way better team throughout the regular season. But when I watched this today. If Giannis doesn't have a monster game and somebody else besides him doesn't step up, Boston is just going to out-talent them. Because
Wrong.
When you look down the line, even if Kyrie Irving doesn't have a great game, Tatum, he didn't play too well today. He can step up big the next game. So it's like, as a Milwaukee, as a coaching staff, do I say, okay, do we focus our concentration on Kyrie? Because now Tatum can step up. Guys like Marcus Morris can step up. Terry Rozier. And that's why the Celtics are dangerous. They just have more, they have more talent than the Milwaukee Bucks. They're without.
All right, folks, that was Paul Pierce, former Boston Celtics great. He's being dragged through the mud today. He really is. You heard what he stated. That was after, just moments after, the Milwaukee Bucks had fallen to the Boston Celtics in game one of that Eastern Conference semifinal series. You know, the Bucks had just come off a clean sweep of my beloved Detroit Pistons. And I think they just thought it was going to be a walk in the park in that game one. And they may have, you know, let that foot off the gas just a bit. But after that, I mean, the Bucks from games two through five were absolutely brilliant. But, you know, it just shows you how reactionary we are in the world of sports. And in some kind of defense for Paul Pierce, he's a bit biased because, again, he was talking about the Boston Celtics. That's a team that treated him really well. That's the team where he made his cheese. All right? That's a team in which he won an NBA championship with. I just think it was more of an emotional comment. All right? He spoke with his heart, not his head, way too prematurely, and now the Boston Celtics are going home. What's that, Shaq, Kenny, Ernie? 1-2-3 Cancun? Yeah, that's where the Boston Celtics players are headed right now. It's vacation time as the Milwaukee Bucks now head to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I love the demeanor from Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, this dude, he didn't even celebrate yesterday. Like I said, he's going to be the best player in the league. Give him 2 years. I say give him 2 years. For me, that brother is still Kevin Durant, but Giannis is not too far from behind. And I love how competitive he is. He didn't celebrate. You know, he did his interview, waved to the crowd a little bit, and headed to the tunnel. Business as usual. We got bigger goals. We're trying to compete for an NBA championship. This is just the next step in that. All right, I'll have more on that. I want to comment on the LA Lakers and the just, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before. You know, we talk about some pretty bad franchises out there, franchises that have poor management. Heck, you know, we follow sports. We follow professional Detroit sports here in the state of Michigan. Need I say more? Cough, cough, Detroit Lions. Right. We've seen some pretty bad upper management, but I don't think we've ever seen mismanagement of a franchise on the scale of this magnitude, because we are not talking about some franchise that's used to losing, some franchise that's loose to having bad management, right? Have a storied history of that. We're used to it as you know, you guys. I'm not a fan. You Detroit Lions fans are used to it. But the LA Lakers, I mean, this is a franchise that is the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL. That is the New York Yankees of baseball. I'm going to get to that later on this hour. First, though, I got to comb through the MHSAA changes. You guys are blowing me up about this. I have to address it because I feel like, for the most part, again, putting a finger on the pulse of the public's reaction to this, you guys are happy about it. Long overdue. Praises rain down. Or I should say praises go up. Okay, because the sports gods, they delivered on this one, in my opinion. This is long overdue because it has been a constant conversation here in the high school sporting realm in the state of Michigan that something needed to be done to change this. If you haven't heard, if you're just now tuning in and didn't hear my really rushed explanation during our headliners of the changes that the Michigan High School Athletic Association are undergoing. Well, the days of high school football coaches really, how shall I put this, manipulating their schedules in order to make the state playoffs. That's done. That's over with. I've seen it. I've seen it far too often. Since I've really been covering high school football, you know, dating back to my time in college, I have seen certain schools that will not be named. Not going to put you out there like that. I have seen certain schools schedule lollipops. Kind of remind you of like, what, college football, right? That rings a bell. Ding, ding, ding. But we've seen this, right? If you know that you just need 6 wins in order to compete for a state championship, it's smart. You know, why wouldn't you, you know, put a school on the schedule that you're pretty favored against? It adds to that win total of 6. And if you get in the dance, anything could happen, right? But that's all out the window now, because beginning in the fall of 2020, so not this upcoming year, but the fall of 2020, a team's strength of schedule will be the underwriting determination of whether a school is in or out of the 256-team playoff field. And it rewards a school even if it loses to a quality opponent. I love that. Because even if you lose, if you're losing to a big dog, and if you're losing to a school and a program that is solid, I think you should be rewarded for that. So, these decisions were reached earlier this week at the Michigan High School Athletic Association's Representative Council's spring meeting out in Gaylord, Michigan. So I'll do my best here before I hit this first break. I want to comb through a few details that I think you need to know. All right. And also determined at the meeting was that for the upcoming school year, so this will take effect immediately, the MHSAA will begin seeding girls and boys basketball. All right. So these changes will take place immediately come the fall. Got to wait another year for football. But this upcoming year, seeding will now happen for boys and girls basketball and soccer state tournaments at the district level. That puts the number 1 and 2 seeds on opposite sides of the bracket, which I really love, because you don't have those two possibly meeting earlier on in the tournament. Okay. Before I proceed, why not? I'll invite them to the conversation right now. We've got Alec Rio behind the glass. We've got Jack Kerwin live in Studio S with me. Before I comb through some more details to this, just initial reaction to this, because when this came through, this was huge news. I mean, this led, you know, this was one of the leading stories here locally on newscast yesterday at the 6 and 11. So, Jack, your immediate reaction when you heard about this story?
Well, so I generally endorse the changes that the MHSAA has made to their playoff format. And talking about the seeding at the district level, I think that's good, because, you know, what we saw prior to this was you would see teams be penalized basically for playing in an area with better competition.
Right.
So for me personally, my high school being UAD Jesuit and the stiff competition we would face, you know, locally all the way up through until reaching the Breslin Center in the semifinal round, you know, UAD would be penalized for being located in the city of Detroit with better competition as opposed to, you know, the suburbs or you know, mid-Michigan. So I really do appreciate the changes that the MHSAA has made to the basketball seating.
And I tell you what, not really a big thing for you guys at UAD Jesuit. I mean, you guys historically on a yearly basis.
Yeah.
Pretty much can guarantee and take it to the bank that you guys are going to make the playoffs, all right? So
yeah.
Did you guys ever miss either the boys, you know?
We didn't have girls, so.
You didn't
have
girls.
It's all boys school.
It's all boys school.
Yep.
Thank you for that clarification. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever miss the playoffs in football?
In football, yeah. We're trying to build a program in football. We just lost our coach a couple years ago.
Gotcha.
It's been tough at UAD.
But basketball, you guys have always
been
gone
very good. Yep.
Very, very good.
Yep.
Alec, your reaction to this story when you first heard about it.
Yeah, I love this. And my school, the men's basketball program, was kind of like those Furmans and Troy universities, like, you know, like in college football. But that was us in high school basketball. So to see some changes being made, because we were in like a really good like Catholic district. We would play teams like Bishop Foley, just plenty of really good talent. And it's really good that we're finally now getting, you know, helping, giving out a helping hand to those schools who need it more, like ours. Like we didn't have that much giving towards us, like in terms of money towards athletics, so we didn't really have a chance to build our programs that high. But it's great to see that, you know, changes are finally being made.
And another point I want to make, and Jack, maybe you can elaborate on whether or not you guys had this problem at UAD Jesuit. But the other thing is that the schools who are trying to make the playoffs, like those lower tier schools, or for instance, a school like UAD Jesuit, did you guys ever have a problem of scheduling an opponent because those other lower tier schools are looking at UAD Jesuit like, man, that's a guaranteed loss. We're trying to get these six wins. You know, why would we play UAD Jesuit? Or another, because you guys are still trying to establish a football program. But the other point, this is just a point I want to make. I mean, sometimes scheduling is tough. I remember talking with Ithaca High School coach Terry Hesbrook. That's a storied program out in Ithaca. That football program, you know, at one point had like the longest regular season win streak in the nation when it comes to high school football. And they, you know, Terry would talk to me about, man, we can't find anybody to schedule because everybody's kind of running away from us. You know what I mean? Because we are the big bag wolf and nobody wants to have that loss on their schedule. So that could also be a problem, right?
I mean, it was never really an issue for us in terms of scheduling, just because playing in the Tier 1 Catholic League, if you will, so many of your games are already locked in. You know, I think we had probably six Catholic League games a season.
Okay.
And then the rest of it, we would either play, you know, public schools from the suburbs or inner city schools. I don't think we really ever had any trouble scheduling. I don't think so.
But some schools do.
Sure.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Some schools do, and I totally get it, because you got a lot of schools out there who are trying to make the playoffs, and they don't want to play a school in which is pretty much guaranteed that they will lose, and they don't get rewarded for it. But in this new system, you will get rewarded for at least putting a school like that on your schedule, which I really like. So had this system been in place in the fall, some research has been done, and I'm taking this from Mick McCabe, a legend in the world of sports reporting here in the state of Michigan. Been reading his work since I was little tyke. Mick McCabe, you know, he did some research here, and he states, when breaking down this whole thing, that had this system been in place last fall, 17 different schools would have been in the playoffs. On the outs would have been one team with a 7-2 record, Ludington, and three with 6-3 marks. Those three schools being Kalamazoo Central, Detroit Western, and Merrill. 11-4 win teams would have made the playoff field.
We played Western a couple times when I was at UAD Jesuit.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
not so great.
That's okay. Exactly. So they would have been on the outs had the system been in place last year, Jack. And that, I mean, we're talking 17 different schools being in the playoffs. That's a pretty big number. Now, they did try this, you know, the old system, you know, that they tried, I believe it was like back in the 90s. They did award like 80 playoff points for beating a Class A school, 64 for beating a Class B school, 48 for Class C, 32 for Class D. Under the new format, teams will earn 60 points if you beat a Division I school, 55 if you beat a Division II school, 50 for beating a D3 team, all the way to 25 points for beating a Division VIII opponent. So, and as for the bonus points, teams will reap rewards from scheduling high-quality bigger schools, as I noted. So, for example, this is what Mick throws out as an example. A Division III team schedules a Division I opponent. The Division III school will get 6 bonus points for every win the Division I team has in that season, except from their head-to-head game. I love that. So if you do get beat, if you put a big dog on your schedule, if you do get beat by that big dog, you can still earn points if that big dog continues to win throughout the season. I love that. That's great. That's great stuff. So, again, there are so many write-ups online. Again, I encourage you to check out Mick McCabe's article as he kind of combs through different scenarios and breaks down the point system. Again, he goes back in time and brings up the 2018 season and brings up teams like Ludington and Kalamazoo Central, Detroit Western and Merrill and Athens and so on and so forth. That those are teams that would not have made the state playoff last year. And he breaks down the schools that would have been in the playoffs. And why not? I'll comb through a few of them. Detroit Mumford would have been in the 2018 playoffs. Lutheran Westland would have been in the 2018 playoffs with this new system. Addison, Petersburg, Summerfield, they were all 5-4. At 4-5, if the new system had been in place last year, Sterling Heights Stevenson would have made it. Battle Creek, Penfield, Flat Rock, Carlton Airport, Stangis, Sterling, Saginaw, Dowagiac, Kingsford, St. Louis, Lakeview, and Hudson all would have made the 2018 playoff field if that new format was in place last season. Your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that live stream, and you can tweet me. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. When we come back, I will bring to you a really cool feature centered on the oldest living member of Lansing's Hispanic community. She was celebrated on Sunday, downtown Lansing at Cooley Law School Stadium. I'll have that feature for you and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Okay, folks, I do have some recruiting news from the world of college basketball. Before I get to this feature, I do want to let you guys know, for those that follow the recruiting scene, that Duke, yeah, no surprise here, Duke has struck early in the 2020 class, landing a commitment from five-star point guard. He is fun to watch. Jeremy Roach, who announced his decision on Twitter that he will be heading to Duke. He is a 6'2" product of Paul High School out in Virginia. He is ranked as the number 14 prospect in the ESPN 100 class for the year 2020. He did tear his ACL during a preseason scrimmage back in November. He missed his junior season, but he's really, really good. He's already got 2 gold medals, actually, with USA Basketball at the 2017 FIBA Americas Under 16 Championship and the 2018 FIBA U17 World Cup. He's a fun player to watch. So, Coach K and Duke, they land another big-time recruit. What's new there? All right. In 1919, Michigan State University student enrollment was around 1,300. Construction on the Boji Tower in Lansing had yet to start, and a baby girl was born to a family who would later become a matriarch in Lansing's Hispanic community. Earlier this week, the Lansing Lugnuts threw her a birthday party, and I was there. On a sunny Sunday afternoon, the Lugnuts, Lansing's minor league baseball team, became the Lansing Locos. Loco means crazy in Spanish, and the mascot for the day was a googly-eyed bird with its tongue sticking out. It's part of an effort to connect teams with their diverse communities. Inside of Cooley Law School Stadium, there's another celebration taking place. Serenaded by a Tejano band is Ava Salinas, who is turning 100 years old.
Today means to me a wonderful day that I had never been so much and so happy. I'm here seeing all my family from different places.
Ava is one of 11 siblings. 4 have passed away. Ava's younger sister actually traveled all the way from California to celebrate this family milestone. And then there's her baby brother, 82-year-old Alonzo.
We came here in 1948 to work in the sugar beets from Harlingen, Texas. And then we work in the sugar beet fields and the strawberry fields, in the tomato fields, in the apple fields, and the potato fields. We work everywhere for $1 an hour.
Alonzo says that growing up, Ava has been like the glue that has held the family together over the years. Unbreakable and stern in challenging times.
She was worried about us all the time, and she was very strict with us. You know, she was a tough girl. She wanted to make sure nothing went wrong, and, you know, she was a tough little girl.
I call Alonzo's attention to the Jumbotron at the stadium that has a picture of his sister and reads, "Happy 100th birthday, Mrs. Salinas."
Oh, my God!
What goes through your mind when you look at that?
Ay, 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 mi hermanita chula.
Also in the crowd is retired Lansing police officer Tracy Ruiz, who organized the event for Ava. 26 years ago, Ruiz met Ava while working her beat in her neighborhood, and since, the two have become family.
During the holidays, I learned that she didn't have a place to go, so I'd take her home with us for the holidays, and the relationship just continued to develop.
So what's the key to getting to the big 100?
Everybody asks me for that. Sleep good, eat good, be happy once in a while, and so I keep myself that way.
Today's Cinco de Mayo is one that will never be forgotten, not just for Ava Salinas, but for the loved ones around her.
I never thought that we would see this. I'm going to be so help me God, the truth. I never thought that she will live this long or us will live this long to see her have 100 years.
100 years of love and legacy. For WKAR, I'm Al Martin.
Oh, that was awesome. I really had a great time putting that story together. And as part of Eva's celebration, two Lansing Locos baseball players presented her with a jersey, of course, fittingly, with the number 100 on the back. And you can see pictures from the celebration on Sunday right now at WKAR.org. I'm also putting together a video package of that audio feature that you just heard that will be made available at 4 p.m. later on this hour right on our website. But I had a great time being out there. It was so cool meeting Ava and her family. And as you heard, her brother, Alonzo, he really was the life of the party. I mean, he was on the dance floor grooving, you know, saying hello to people. He's just so animated. He was awesome. You know, that's her younger brother. He, again, as you heard in the piece, he's 82 years old. But one thing that really hit me, though, Ava being 100 years old, she is so sharp. The interview that we had, you know, I talked to her for about like 5.5 minutes, and she was just so sharp, you know, could recall things from the past and talked about her family. And it was just amazing chatting with her. And, you know, as you also heard in the piece, you know, the Lugnuts or the Locos for the weekend, right? They had a picture of Ava with the words "Happy 100th birthday, Mrs. Salinas" on the Jumbotron. And that organic reaction from Alonzo was one of a kind, wasn't it? And, you know, they brought her out on the field before the game. And, you know, you see the two players come out and present her with the jersey, and she wanted to put it on right then and there. She's like, "Oh yeah, put it on me." And so they unbutton it, they put it on her, she stands out there and waves to the crowd, and the crowd gave her a standing ovation. So awesome story. Again, much thanks to Tracy Ruiz for, you know, bringing that story to us and tipping us off that this celebration was going to happen. And again, that video feature, if you want to see a visual of the story, just go to WKAR.org around 4 p.m. I'll have a video package. We already have the audio package up on our website, and we have a few pictures that you can check out. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll talk about Nick Ward, former Michigan State men's basketball forward, who is trying to make his professional hoop dreams come true. We'll talk about his stock as a professional hoop prospect. And again, I'm going to double back and touch on the NBA drama from yesterday. It was certainly a drama-filled day. That and more. We'll be right back. All right, we come down the home stretch of this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Just want to touch on Nick Ward for a second here, because as, of course, the mock drafts, as they begin to pick up, you're starting to see mock drafts from ESPN and other respective sites, Yahoo Sports. Saw some from Bleacher Report even this morning. And former Michigan State big man, Nick Ward, he is not among any draft boards, at least according to these mock drafts. He is not on any draft boards right now. He's not on any mock draft list. There's just really no hype surrounding around Ward. Also, Ward was not among the 66 players invited to the NBA draft combine, next week. That list was revealed yesterday by the association, nor was he even picked up for the 40-player G League combine, which happens after the NBA draft combine. So, again, I have not seen Ward's name come up on any mock drafts. He's not projected to be chosen among the 60 players that will make their NBA dreams come true later on this summer. So, with that being said, where is Nick Ward going to be playing come next year? Now, we all know, looking at this, pretty jarring, right? But we kind of saw this coming. It's like when Nick Ward, don't get me wrong, I mean, he had a great start to his junior season. He was so good during key stretches of the beginning of the Big Ten year. And then that injury happens to his hand. Oh, and by the way, I'm glad I brought that up, because we also have a feature on Nick Ward and his injury to the hand and how the College of Engineering helped him get back on the court, done by our very own Samantha Bazzarico. That's her final project for us. Go to WKAR.org to check that out. Really interesting feature. But back on track. Once that injury happened to Nick Ward's hand, again, so Ohio State, I believe it was, he was not the same when he returned. And Xavier Tillman came in, his numbers went up, and he became such a great, I don't want to say replacement, but that's exactly what he did, right? Because Nick was on the bench. Xavier Tillman comes in and is amazing.
I'll say it if you won't say it. He was better than Nick Ward.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely.
I think, yeah. I wouldn't argue with that.
Because here's the thing about Nick. Even, and I give Nick a lot of credit for, he really improved from a mental aspect this year as opposed to his first 2 years at Michigan State. The problem with Nick Ward is there are games when Nick Ward would score 20 points, but the guy he's guarding would get 20 as well.
Defensively.
And that's, exactly.
And I think he improved as a defensive player this past year.
I would say so, too. But again, Nick Ward, there were nights where he wasn't mentally engaged still.
And this is the thing that when you look at, I'll say this, Nick Ward, when comparing the two, when comparing Xavier Tillman and Nick Ward, Nick Ward, I think, is a better post player than Xavier Tillman.
Yeah.
But
right
Tillman
now, anyway.
Tillman is a better overall player.
Yeah.
When you're talking about playing both sides of the court, right? He's a better defensive player, I think.
I mean, he was the glue of the defense last year.
He
really was.
He can also shoot. You know, when he does decide to take that 3-point shot, I mean, he nailed it a few times. Also, he is a much better passer from the paint as well, and that was a big knock on Ward dating back to last year. So it really hurt Nick when he got, you know, that hand injury. So I think, though, I think Nick Ward, with him not being picked for even the G League combine, Nick is already set on not returning to Michigan State. That's all done, okay? Nick Ward should do whatever he wants to do. I am not going to sit here, and you guys know how I roll when it comes to this conversation. I'm not going to sit here and say that a college athlete should come back for another year if that college athlete wants to finally get paid for playing the game. The NCAA is so corrupt. All right, this Nick Ward, if he wants to say, all right, I want to finally get paid for what I do on the hardwood, I can't blame him. I can't criticize whether or not, you know, I think that he should come back to try and up his stock so that he can become possibly a legitimate National Basketball Association draft prospect. But if he wants to go to Europe, you know, and play in the European League or, you know, I don't know, go to China, wherever. If he wants to go international and play somewhere, I think he has the talents to do that. And I think that's where we will see Nick Ward come next season.
Do you even think that if he were to come back for another year, his stock would be so that he would get drafted?
At least he has a chance.
I don't think it would change anything.
I think that Nick Ward playing in the Michigan State system, it suits his game. Sure, and I think having that 1-2 punch combo of Tillman and Ward, my goodness, that'd be fantastic. And I think, you know, Tom Izzo has shown this. He knows how to develop players over time. So if I was a betting man, I would bet that if he does come back, he will become a better player under Tom Izzo's system and could possibly up his stock. And we don't know. I haven't looked at what the draft prospects look like for next year. But who knows?
Here's my issue, though. I don't think there's anything Tom Izzo can do to help Nick Ward grow 3 inches. And I mean, Nick Ward through 3 years hasn't displayed an ability to score facing the basket. He can't go outside the 3-point line, which is, I think, what NBA teams want out of their big men anymore. He's an old-time big man playing in 2019.
Exactly.
And I just don't think that would change in another year.
That's the thing. I mean, Nick Ward, if anything, he would have to come back and Graham Couch puts it this way as well in his piece today in the Lansing State Journal. He would have to come back in the best shape of his life. He would have to develop a consistent jump shot because that's what the NBA lives on nowadays. And the fact that Nick Ward is only 6'8", I mean, we're seeing 6'8 players play guard in the NBA today. You know what I mean? That's not what Nick does.
But he doesn't have the body to play guard still.
And he doesn't. That's what I'm saying. He would have to trim up. He would have to modify his game. And it's a shooter's league now. And that is why another player who was a former Spartan, Matt McQuaid, is getting some NBA draft buzz. Don't know if you guys saw this, but Matt McQuaid, he has been invited to work out with the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies. This is what the scouting report reads when breaking down the invites that the Grizzlies have sent out. They've sent invites out to Marlon Hunter Jr., Anthony Lawrence, Skylar Mays, Juwan Morgan, Josh Reeves, and Matt McQuaid. This is how it reads. Quote, Matt McQuaid is another good player who has a chance to become a good player at the next level. His biggest skill is his shooting, which is very important in today's NBA. No brainer, right? He may have some flaws elsewhere, but if he truly becomes a great shooter, then he will have a chance to find a role with an NBA team. Perfect example of that when discussing Michigan State prospects is Mr. Bryn Forbes, who has really made a nice career for himself right now with the San Antonio Spurs. Right, Jack?
And did you ever think Bryn Forbes would be an NBA guy?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No. And I mean, I don't think Matt McQuaid will be either, but I mean, I can't definitively say he won't be because if he goes to the right team, the right development system, you know, he could be a catch and shoot guy and he plays defense as well. So
exactly. If you can shoot, that's the thing. If you can shoot in today's NBA, it does not matter. You will find somewhere to make a living in the association. Alec.
Okay. So you know how I know Nick Ward is not coming back to MSU?
Why is that?
Because have you heard the story about how he was in this group chat with a group project?
No. And, well, first off, who's your source on this?
It's a friend.
Twitter.
Yeah, it was all over Twitter circulating. It was a couple weeks ago.
Who tweeted
so,
it out? Do you know?
It was a friend of the person in the group project that was with Nick Ward.
A friend of the person in the group project with Nick Ward. Okay, so this is a friend of a guy.
And he has the screenshots and everything.
Okay, I'm just trying to connect the dots. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's got the screenshots.
Yep.
So he got the screenshots from his homeboy who's in a group project for some class here at Michigan State.
Yes, and so the text,
we got you now. All right.
The text read is like is to Nick Ward saying, okay, are you coming to class today? You should help with the analysis and PowerPoint if you expect your name to be on the presentation.
Oh, feisty.
I know.
Oh, this is drama. I know. Keep going.
And then Nick Ward replies with the emphatic LOL, comma, nah, I'm done with the class, so you guys can completely take me off There is no way that man's coming back to MSU after that. No way.
I'll read that one more time. What is Nick's response to this really mad member of his group project?
LOL, comma.
Nah,
I'm done with the class. You guys can completely take me off. You can't come back after that.
Awesome. How haven't I seen this?
It was all over Twitter a couple weeks ago. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for bringing that up, Alan. Oh, my God. Nah.
And
you know what? And I can say this now. Nick's not coming back. I can say this now that Nick is not coming back. But the two reasons why I thought that I was sold on Nick not coming back to Michigan State. One, his demeanor in the locker room after Michigan State got eliminated. I'm not going to read too much into this, but Nick just seemed to me, and Jack, you were with me. Nick was kind of just laid back, you know, and he just had like, yeah, well, that's it, man. You know, yeah, I mean, we had a good run, you know, and he wasn't too heartbroken. And if I'm reading into it, and again, I don't want to read too much into this. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall right now. But it seemed like he was just comfortable with his career at Michigan State, and it seemed like he was just kind of reflecting, like looking around, like, all right, just kind of taking it in, like, yeah, this probably will be my last time in a green and white jersey.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, and I remember you saying that to me when we were in the locker room, that you were like, yep, Nick's done. And I don't know if I took that away from Nick's demeanor, but, I mean, you were obviously right, so I mean,
yeah.
it doesn't matter either way.
Well, the other layer to this is the fact that he is engaged now. A lot of people don't know this. He's engaged to Calabria Gondrzik, former Michigan State women's basketball player. And I feel like Calabria, from sources I won't name, obviously, I feel like Calabria wanted him to go as well. Calabria was in his ear and like, hey, it's time.
And he's going to make a lot of money playing overseas if that's what he chooses.
You know,
you make six figures playing in China or Spain.
I can't fault that. I can't fault that whatsoever. All right. Wow. Time flies when you're having fun, right? We have a little over 90 seconds left in the hour. I guess I'll table this for tomorrow's show, but I want to talk about the L.A. Lakers drama. Oh, boy. If you haven't heard, the Lakers, it was on the table for Tyronn Lue. You know, it was on the table to give LeBron what he wants. You know, Tyronn Lue, I thought, was going to be the next head coach of the L.A. Lakers. Talk stalled. Apparently, reports are saying that Lue wanted a longer contract. It was a three-year deal that he was offered. I mean, that rookie head coaches in the NBA get three-year contracts, but this is a guy who's won a ship, right? He wanted a five-year deal. That didn't happen. I'll touch on that and more on tomorrow's Current Sports. Have a great afternoon, and be easy, people.